You've probably seen those bright and colorful but fake glass lamps that are often referred to as Tiffany's. They're not the real thing. To see that, you'd want to head to the Luxembourg Museum in Paris. An exhibit featuring American stained glass artist Louis Comfort Tiffany opens there today. Some of the stained glass windows and lamps on view hail from the artist's early career when he ran Tiffany Glass Furnaces in Queens, New York. And Queens is the answer to our GeoQuiz today. Rosalind Peppel helped curate the exhibit. She's a decorative art specialist. Now, when Tiffany took his lamps to the World's Fair in Paris back in 1900, it was quite a sensation. And now again, they're back in Paris. Rosalind, what actually greets you when you walk in the door? Is it equally sensational?
Yes, so we've got a lot of wonderful windows in the exhibition. And as you say, Tiffany has returned to Paris because one of the major windows is one that is now in the State Hermitage Museum in Russia, but it was originally exhibited by Tiffany in 1900 at the World's Fair in Paris, and I believe it's probably the first time it has been shown in Paris since then. And so we're very pleased to have a first exhibition in France of Tiffany's work. So as you come into the show, you'll see also another large window that he made for a huge mansion in Hawaii for the head of a sugar company, James Castle. And it's a picture of a mermaid or a woman, mermaid riding on a dragon kind of in the sea. She looks like a mermaid. And it was very typical of the type of windows that Tiffany made for large houses in the United States, in New York, and other large cities.
Glass is clear. Tiffany's designs were quite literal, it sounds. Flowers, mermaids. And yet he was also intrigued by the idea of imperfection.
Yes, well, he said his whole interest in glass came from looking at medieval windows, but also looking at just an ordinary wine bottle. And what he liked about just a wine bottle was the imperfections in the glass, because when they were made, you know, they didn't care about the bubbles that were formed in the glass, and the base is a bit thicker than the upper part. And this is exactly what he wanted to reproduce in his glass, was having these imperfections. He wanted irregular shapes in his vases. He would let his workers just experiment with the glass and have a kind of freedom of expression in the forms. And this is a very modern side to Tiffany. And he liked also in glass, of course, it's molten, it's hot when you're working with it, so you get all sorts of unexpected effects when it goes into the furnace. It bubbles and overflows, and this is exactly what he wanted. And this is why Tiffany, to our eyes now, is so interesting, because he was really experimenting with this medium that he loved, and he really was passionate about glass.
Just how rare are Tiffany lamps today?
The Tiffany lamps aren't rare, but the problem is that there's so many reproductions. But when you see a real Tiffany lamp, you'll see how complex the range of color was and how many variations of tone you have. And for example, the wisteria lamp, which is one of his classic lamps, it ranges from a very deep mauve to a very light blue, and it's beautifully technically put together. And so I think this is certainly one of his top examples of the lamps. And I'm afraid our eyes, though, have seen so many reproductions that you have to really look at a real Tiffany lamp to appreciate the genius in it and magic of a lamp.
What do you think Louis Comfort Tiffany would have thought about all these cheap reproductions of his lamps? I mean, there are plastic Tiffany replicas all over the place.
Yes. Every lamp he produced, and I know he did do them sometimes in series. There's some where there's only one of a kind, but for example, the wisteria lamp, he made about 125 examples of it, but each one was unique. Each one was made by a group of workers, and it was nothing to do with machine production, whereas reproductions now, of course, are all put out by machine. And he would have been horrified by the quality of the reproductions, because he was very particular about how his workers were creating these pieces. He would visit the atelier, he would walk through the workshops, and was very particular about the details of his pieces. And, you know, often even for the glass vases, if one wasn't exactly what he wanted, they would throw it out.
And where were those workshops?
They were in Corona in Queens. He had a Manhattan downtown office on 4th Avenue, and he had a showroom there. He had some of his smaller ateliers, like the lamps. The making of the actual putting together of the lamps was in Manhattan, but then he had a big glass factory, which was opened in 1892 out in Corona in Queens, and that's where all the sheet glass was made for the windows. That's where all the really rough work was done. The furnaces were out there. The bronze foundry was out there.
I suppose the Luxembourg Museum has a couple of their own pieces of Tiffany, but you had to transport a lot of this there. What kind of task was that?
Well, you know, the reason the Musée Luxembourg was wanting to have the Tiffany show was because when in Tiffany's day, in 1894, they began to acquire vases by Tiffany. And so these vases, which are now in the Musée d'Orsay collection, have been brought back into the Museum of Luxembourg. And Tiffany actually even gave the Musée Luxembourg two vases in 1919. And we have some other vases from French museums, like the Museum of Decorative Arts, the Petit Palais. But the large majority of the pieces, of course, come from American collections. The Metropolitan has been a very generous, wonderful donor of works, the Chrysler Museum, the Dallas Museum, and the show will be going to the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts, so they are also major lenders.
Tiffany was a world traveler as well as a fantastic artist. He visited Japan, Africa, the Middle East. How did those voyages emerge in his glass art?
Certainly early in his career, he spent a year in Paris in 1868, and he was very much influenced by the whole Orientalist, as we call it in French, the whole influence of countries like Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, all the richness of color and the decoration, the beautiful wrought ironwork. He traveled to those countries in 1870, and he brought back many of his treasures, these hanging lamps with chains and often with glass as well. So certainly early in his career, the Orientalism was a strong influence. Then he also, in Europe, as in North America, there was the influence of Japan in about the 1860s, 70s. Tiffany & Company, the big firm of his father's firm, they made silver in the Japanese fashion. So he grew up seeing all this in his father's store, and through his travels to these countries, he gradually was inspired by, we call it Japanism, Orientalism, the arts and crafts movement in England and in Paris, Art Nouveau.
And do you see that in the exhibit right now in Paris?
Well, certainly the influence of the North African countries you see in his paintings. We have a few examples of his paintings that he did early in his career in the 1870s, which are really of the countries, scenes of the market in Algeria or in Morocco. And then you have some of the examples of the decoration he did for the interiors of houses, where he has a lot of wrought iron work with glass, what we call jewels, but they're really just chips or chunks of glass that are incorporated into these metal works that are very similar to what he saw in these countries. Or you'll find the motifs like the dragonfly, underwater motifs, the starfish, the kind of natural motifs you would see in Japanese art and Japanese decorative objects.
Rosalind Peppel, decorative arts curator at Montreal's Musée des Beaux-Arts, where the Tiffany exhibit will head next after Paris. Rosalind Peppel, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.